Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the So You Had a Baby podcast, episode 27. This week, we're sharing our top three postpartum care tips. And though three doesn't seem like a lot, we each found these things to be so important in our postpartum recovery. We hope you enjoy this episode and find these tips to be useful whether you're in postpartum period or will be in the future.
Welcome to the So You Had a Baby podcast. We are your hosts, Inkiru and Krista.
We'll be sharing empowering stories and topics to inspire women to grow and love themselves more throughout their postpartum journey.
Join us each week as we work to change the stigma around postpartum.
All right, Krista. So what advice would you give to someone else that is listening, that is either in postpartum right now, or that is going to be? What are your three tips?
So my three tips, first of all, I'd like to state that it's really exciting that we're back on the episode together.
Yeah, that's right. I
missed you for just you and me for a little bit there. So
it is good to be back.
Yeah, it's nice. We love, love, love our guests, but it's also nice to have a little you and me time, Nikki.
To connect and talk about these things. I agree.
Yeah. So for me, my first postpartum care tip would be the need for a pelvic floor specialist, not just in postpartum, but also through pregnancy. So I say this as a changed woman because when I was pregnant, I didn't know anything about postpartum floor specialists or what they did or why I would even need one or to even ask for one.
Yeah.
And I came across one, I was referred to one about 9 months into my postpartum, which was, to be quite honest, way too late. it's never too late, but it was way too late.
Yeah.
And I wish I would have known about that in pregnancy, because now that I know a little bit more about what they do and how they can help you, I just realized I really would have benefited in my pregnancy. And I'll explain a little bit more. But so I was referred to a pelvic floor specialist about 9 months postpartum. And the information I received there, so, I mean, you know this, and some of our listeners know this, but I am a massage therapist by trade or by profession. And so I know about muscle recovery and the importance of it, but what I kind of disconnected from the pelvic floor, and your pelvic floor goes through so much trauma when you're carrying and then giving birth, and those muscles that are in your pelvic floor just kind of get ripped to shreds, to be quite honest. And so I've struggled a lot with multiple things. And I mean, this is a whole nother episode, but so I was referred to a pelvic floor specialist, and and the way she explained it to me is that I think is important to share is she basically told me that your pelvic floor is made up of multiple muscles. And the same way you would tear, if you tore your bicep, you go and get care for your bicep because, you know, everything else starts falling apart around it. The same goes for your pelvic floor. Like, you tore a muscle and you need to care for it. And I was like, why have I never put those two together? And once I did, once I did see her, I saw her for about 5 or 6 appointments. And that was a major turning point in my postpartum recovery.
Yeah.
And had I been able to see a pelvic floor specialist through pregnancy, I probably would have gotten better information, better care. Not that my doctor wasn't amazing, but that's just not something that we dealt with. It was kind of disconnected.
Yeah.
And I would have gotten maybe more guidance on, like, based off of my body and how my body's sitting and my baby's sitting in my, you know, in my hips, and like, maybe I could have gotten better tips on how delivery, like positions for delivery and guidance through that and care immediately after. So that's my biggest care tip, is is pelvic floor specialist is so necessary for so many different reasons. So if you don't have one and you're pregnant or in postpartum, I highly, highly, highly recommend finding one.
Yeah, I feel like that is something that a lot of people don't know about. Like, can you explain a little bit about the pelvic floor? I mean, obviously, we're both not professional, or not experts in this field, but it's such an interesting field to me. And it's also so necessary, like you've explained. And so, like, could you explain a little bit about pelvic floor or what that even means to someone listening that has no idea?
Yeah. So the pelvic floor is, and I'm not a pelvic floor specialist, so I can't talk too informed. Like, I'm not a specialist here, but I've received it. Mm-hmm. So on the receiving end of it, I can say is the pelvic floor, as I had mentioned, is the muscles that kind of are in the bottom of your pelvis that kind of hold your insides in, if you will. And so when you give birth, the baby passes through that your birthing canal and goes through all these muscles, and these muscles go through a ton of trauma. And so a pelvic floor specialist not only helps with like the muscle recovery, but also, honestly, I feel like I'm not even doing their specialty justice, because they do so much more. I know, like, the, you know, when your abs separate, the rectidiastasis,
yeah,
they help with, you know, helping get that back to normal or close to normal. So your abs basically split, you know, your muscles kind of stretch out to make room for this baby. And so they help with that. They help with, there's so many things. I mean, honestly, it wasn't even just muscular for me. It was healing on another, emotional level as well. Yeah. It was kind of helping me. And you can find someone depending on what you're looking for. You know, some people aren't into the woo-woo kind of care. I didn't think I was, but I really needed it. And so it was really healing for me just to kind of – it's like the – your uterus and all of that area is like the epicenter of your womanhood, you know? And so it kind of helped me reconnect to this really powerful part of my body that I kind of disconnected from.
Yep.
So I don't know if I did it any justice there, but
I think that was a great explanation as to like what it is and why someone might need it. So I think that's great. Yeah. Tell me more. What else?
So that was my first one. My second one is kind of along those same lines. And I recognize this might not be everyone's postpartum care tips, but this is just where I felt like I benefited the most and what I needed the most. So my second one is to continue your personal, whether it be physical, mental, or both, self-care after you give birth. So I mean, I feel like everybody knows this. When you're pregnant, women are just so much more inclined to take amazing care of themselves, right? Mm-hmm. So you do all the appointments, you see your doctors, you eat better, you try to work out, and you want to be the best you, because you're growing as a person. Mm-hmm. so you're much more tuned into your body and willing to do all the appointments and see all the specialists, because you have to for this baby. But as soon as the baby's born, you kind of disconnect from yourself, and your focus now turns to the baby, and that's important for sure. But your body just did all this work. And so I think for me, what was really important and what I will definitely be better at next time is continuing, you know, so I was really good about, I got massages while I was pregnant, and I got chiropractic care, and, you know, I made sure to do my prenatal yoga, and I did all these things to kind of keep myself moving, right, and be the, like, take care of myself and feel good. And then once the baby came, all of my focus went to caring for Harper, and I just kind of fell apart a little bit. Mm-hmm. And that is honestly when I needed my chiropractor and a massage, and which is, like I said, I'm a massage therapist. And even I was like, well, you know, I don't have time for that. Mm-hmm. But if I would have kept that going and put attention into that, I would have been a much better version of me.
Yeah.
Like, I needed that care so bad, more than ever. Mm-hmm. But you don't think about that, you know?
Yeah, I think that's such an important point. It's so hard to get into that mindset after you have the baby, because once you have the baby, you just want to focus on the baby and you just kind of forget about yourself and your needs as well. And so I think that's a great point, is like, continue those same things, that those same types of self-care that you were doing while you were pregnant, because it's so necessary when you're not pregnant anymore and you're in your postpartum. So I think it's a good point to make. And I just want to ask you, what things did you do? Like, what things did you end up doing after you actually gave birth or was in the postpartum period?
Honestly, I wish I could say I was really good. I think I didn't go see my chiropractor the way I needed to. Mm-hmm. I can list off all the things I didn't do. Right. And I wish I would have, yeah. You know, I was trying to get regular massage or, you know, somewhat regular massage while I was pregnant. Mm-hmm. And I didn't for a while after giving birth. Mm-hmm. for quite a while, which is terribly sad for me, because my body needs that. I mean, everybody needs that. And it would have made, like I said, there's so many benefits to massage, just because I know that world, you know, there's so many major benefits. I would have benefited from it so much more. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the mental, I said physical, and those are all kind of physical, they kind of physical and mental, but also I would throw in there a personal counselor, going to somebody to talk about what I'm going through and have like an open place to discuss mm-hmm. myself, because you don't. And I think it's important to not just continue it, but maybe like ramp it up more.
Yeah. I mean, because
you're giving all of your attention to this tiny person. And so you really do get kind of thrown to the background.
Right. That's kind of something that a lot of people don't think about, like counseling for yourself. You don't really think about yeah. that in that period, you know, and it's an important resource to utilize. For sure.
Definitely. I didn't. And now that I'm in this, you know, this stage and 3 years out, I wish I would have. I think I would have benefited from it so much. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's easier to give the tips now that you've gone through it. So exactly. On this side of it, this is definitely my tip. My third one is make an effort to keep some of your activities you enjoyed pre-baby important and include baby. Mm. So this probably sounds kind of funny, but I feel like you hear so often, once the baby comes, everything changes and you can't do all the same things you used to do, which that is true. Things change. But in some ways, I feel like that's also this may sound controversial, but I feel like sometimes it's a good excuse to not do things. And what I've found is that, yes, we had to change some things, but also babies are really adaptable. Mm-hmm. And in the tone of kind of losing yourself a little bit, you don't have to lose yourself that much. So like, camping was really something that we enjoyed, and hiking was something we really enjoyed. So instead of being like, well, we can't do that anymore, we're like, okay, well, we're just going to throw her in a pack and bring her with us.
Right.
And we did. And she was fine. And at first, my initial reaction, honestly, was like, oh, we probably shouldn't do this. This is going to be hard. I'm breastfeeding. But the reality is while she was breastfeeding was the easiest time to do that mm-hmm. because I didn't have to carry anything for her. It was on me.
Yeah.
So we just threw her in her pack and she didn't know any better. And she was with us and we could care for her still. We had some diapers and we were good to go. Mm-hmm. So that she didn't. And now, you know, we realized that because that was so normal and we just kind of kept her going with us. Mm-hmm. She loves it.
Yeah.
And she actually enjoys these things and we didn't have to stop doing what we like doing.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I find that important too. Just kind of try it out, you know, see if you can do things that you used to do with a baby or, you know, you don't have to drop every single thing that you did and not ever do that again because, oh, you have a baby. I feel like there are certain things that maybe, you can't do with a child, but at the same time, there's really not a whole lot that you have to limit yourself on with a baby. You just have to kind of take the chance and figure it out. It reminds me of some people that are married and they decide that they need to like go travel. You know, the couples that need to like go travel and get all of their traveling out because when they have a baby, they want to settle down. They're not going to travel anymore. Nothing like that is going to happen because they mm-hmm. have a baby. And to me, I'm thinking, you guys are probably going to, I mean, you don't know, but you can anticipate possibly traveling at least one time when you baby, you know, like at least one time in the first year that the baby's born or even two or three, it's like they want to go get all their traveling out before they have kids. But once they have kids, they're thinking that they're never going to travel again. And I just find that to be a little unrealistic for me. Like I know that we wanted to, you know, do some traveling, but we didn't really think we need to do this before the baby comes because we always said to ourselves that we're going to still travel when we have kids. Like that is just part of us. That is just going to be something that we do because that's who we are. We didn't think that babies are going to stop us from traveling. But I think there are a lot of people that tend to think that way because they don't know what to expect, which is fine to be cautious. I don't think that's but just kind of having in the mindset of we'll see how it goes. And I still want to hike. I still want to travel. I still want to camp, but we have a baby. So we're just going to figure it out and see how it goes. I think that's a better mentality to go into parenthood than thinking that you need to restrict yourself from all of the things that you ever did when you were single or when you were just the two of you in a relationship and just be more open-minded. You know?
Yeah. Well, also for the fact that, and I feel like you want your kids to be interested in the things you're interested in. You don't want to keep them away from that so much of your life that, you know, you're different people. Like obviously some habits you might have to change, but like, maybe you shouldn't go drinking every night. That's not a good idea.
You can't go skydiving with a baby. That just doesn't work.
They don't allow the babies on the plane, but you know, there's certain things that you want your kids to be interested in the things you're interested in. They're going to create their own habits, but you know, share your life with them, not change your life for them. Also, babies fly free for the first 2 years, so why
take
would
advantage
fly
of that?
Fly, get it all done in the first 2 years of their life, then wait a little bit.
Oh goodness! Exactly, get it over with. I mean, there are definitely places you can go and things you could do with a baby. Maybe your activities will be slightly, like if you're completely adventurous and crazy, maybe you can't really do all of those crazy things that you once did with a child, but there's a lot of things that you really can do that are fun and exciting and you can still experience life in the world. Kids.
Yeah. Agreed. And you want to expose your kids to things. And so They don't want to be cooped up in the house. You don't want to be cooped up in the house. You're not helping anybody that way.
Exactly.
So I have a little bonus tip too. Kind of on that same note is make sure to keep date night important even when it's hard.
Yeah.
Because your baby needs you to get out of your house and go on a date. They need you too.
Yeah. I mean, that makes you, if you think about it, that would make you a better mom, a better husband, a better parent, dad. You know, it's like, if you can learn to take care of yourself, your relationship, that is going to transcend into how you care for your kids. And your kids are going to see that, hey, mommy and daddy are actually taking the time to be with each other. And that's a really good thing. And obviously, as a baby, they're not going to know that. But if you continue to do it and make it a habit, they're going to grow up seeing that. And that's a beautiful thing.
It is. It is.
Awesome. Well, I like your tips, Krista. Thank you.
Thank you. What about you, Nikki? What are your top three postpartum tips?
Yeah. So I would say that my first one is postpartum cramping. Now, this is something that maybe not a lot of people experienced or even know about, but it's totally a thing. So postpartum cramping happens after you give birth, like maybe a few weeks or so after, or I forget when it happened with me, but essentially it feels like period cramping, and it feels like that, maybe a little worse, but it's essentially your uterus contracting down to its normal size. So I experienced that, and I know not every woman does, but I definitely did. And I was like, what is happening? What is this? And how do I make it stop? I didn't realize that that was a thing. I didn't know that was going to happen, really. And yeah, it was interesting. And so I didn't have it like super bad, but I just remember it happening and feeling like, oh my goodness, I feel like I'm, you know, on my period. And it kind of was like you're on your period because you're technically, you know, bleeding.
You're still bleeding.
And have like big pads on, and it's kind of like you're on your period, especially when you throw the cramping in there. So
those weren't pads, Nikki. Those were diapers. Those were adult diapers.
But you know, I was a little taken aback, like, wow, I didn't realize I'm gonna feel this. But what really helped for me were warm or hot pads. And I was actually given homemade hot pads a while back. And I used them a lot for my period, but it was really helpful in postpartum cramping. And they're like filled with corn, like corn sacks, essentially.
Really? I've never even heard of
those. Yeah, it's so nice. I think you can fill it with different things, but these were filled up with corn in them. And I just warm it up. I put it in the microwave, and I just put it on my pelvic area, and it just felt so good. I was like, oh,
on your lady parts,
on my pelvic area, and it just felt good. It just felt really good. And along with that, to help with the postpartum cramping, I also drank an herbal tea that my midwife gave me, and that really helped as well. So.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was really helpful. But I think there are also like tinctures and different things, like herbal tinctures and things that you could use as well to help with postpartum cramping. So it's something to look into if maybe anyone that's listening is experiencing this or knows someone that is experiencing this. Yeah, there's different resources out there for it, but I don't think a lot of people know about it. So yeah.
I actually did know about it. That's funny. I did. I think I learned about it in breastfeeding class that I took while I was pregnant. And I remember experiencing it. I definitely didn't have all the lovely pads that you were talking about. I wish I would have. Nobody made that for me. think all I had was like tucks, but that doesn't help with cramping. But I remember being really fascinated by it because of what it was doing.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you remember, but I remember it was actually always triggered by breastfeeding. Like when Harper was eating, the letdown and the breastfeeding were, and then cramping would start. It was actually all triggered at the same time. The way the body works is incredible. Yeah. But they were all kind of in unison. Yeah. And so
that is interesting. Yeah, so there were, for you, there were triggers for it. I don't remember. I don't remember, but I just know that when it would happen, it was like, at first I was a little shocked by it, but then after, you know, it happened a few times, I was like, okay, like this is what's happening and I'm fine and it's good. And my body's just getting back to where it was. And I thought that was so incredible. I was like, that's really cool that your body just knows what to do. You know, after you have a baby, it knows exactly what to do to get back in shape, to get back into what it needs to do, like internally. It knows what to do. And I just find that to be extremely fascinating.
Actually a really fun little fact. Don't quote me on this, but I believe what triggers the initial cramping are the birth of your placenta is the baby being like when you put the baby on your stomach right after the baby crawling or squirming to, they really do. They kind of wiggle themselves to the breast that's letting down. That initial movement on your abdomen is actually what triggers the first cramping to help birth the placenta.
Huh. Yeah. Interesting.
Fun fact.
Yeah. Do we want to quote? Are you sure you don't want to be quoted on this one?
Don't quote me, but I believe that is what I've read about the golden hour and that process, because I do remember mine being triggered actually by Harper eating as well. So when my letdown would happen and she'd start eating, I could feel like you could feel the cramping kind of start. And it was like you could feel things moving. It was crazy.
Yeah, it is pretty nuts. And I just found it to be really, really kind of cool. The second postpartum tip that I would give to someone else in that did not help me because I did not realize it. prepping. And this is something that I talk about in my postpartum story. It is so highly important to meal prep. And this is something that I will be doing in the next pregnancy. I just find meal prepping to be so highly important because, you know, you make your meals for yourself ahead of time before your due date. And you ask your friends or relatives or partner, whoever is around to help assist you in making the meals, like just even a couple meals before the baby comes that you can freeze. And some freezer meals could last for a couple months or more. And I find it to be so smart to do because there's going to be a lot of times where, at least for me, I wanted to go to the kitchen and cook and things, but I couldn't physically because I just had a baby and it was very difficult to walk. And I struggled with that because I couldn't just like grab things from the kitchen. I needed assistance. And so if someone is there to help me, like my mom was there, she could quickly grab that freezer meal, pop it in the microwave, and I have a meal, you know, or my husband could do the same. And so I just find it to be important to prepare meals ahead of time, just so you have something, especially important for when your husband or your partner goes back to work and it's just you, or you don't really have a lot of help, those freezer meals come in handy as well. So I think
totally
is highly important. I'm definitely going to do that the next time. And I can't emphasize how important that is enough. I mean, especially in your postpartum period, you need more nutrients than you did in your pregnancy. You need nutrients for both you and your baby. That is the time when you are actually eating for two. And if you're not getting the right amount of calories and nutrients in your body, you're not able to produce enough milk and you're not able to feel good and your body is not able to function as well. So I just know that I can't emphasize that enough.
I love that you share that one, because I agree, and I didn't do that well. I also love that you mentioned to ask people to help, which I feel like so many women don't want to do, or so many people don't want to do. You know, you feel like you're asking a lot of people, but I feel like everyone asks, how can I help? Can I help with anything? Yeah. And asking somebody to make you a meal that you can freeze that would last a while would be huge. And that way you're not trying to do everything, because doing that when you're pregnant is, you know, not top of mind, to be quite honest. No.
Exactly.
But I agree. It's so important. And you also had mentioned that, you know, getting up when you, even though you feel like you want to, your actual ability to do that is, you know, you don't really know what state you're going to be in after giving birth. So having that as a backup, or having those meals that you can just grab so easy. I agree with you. I didn't do that. I wish I would have. And I'm glad you brought that one up, because that one is super, super important.
Yeah. It just be so helpful.
And then to get variety as well. If you ask other people to help, you have a variety of foods.
Yeah. And, you know, I was watching a YouTube video the other day, actually. And this girl, she said that when she was pregnant, like maybe a couple weeks before her due date, she had a meal making party or meal planning party or whatever, where she had just a couple of her friends come over and they helped her make meals for after birth. And I'm like,
what a great idea.
That's an excellent idea. So definitely needed. And that's an idea if you want to have some girl time or friend time, invite some friends over and make some meals.
I like that idea. And then it's like a good
It's a good hangout sesh. But my third one is something that I think, just in general, just being a new mom, maybe is something that we don't think about. And that is, it's okay to say no, or not right now. And what I mean by that is just, there's going to be people that want to hold your baby and be in your space after you give birth. And just know that you don't actually have to say yes. You have the liberty and the right to say no, or not right now, and not feel bad about it, because that is something that, for me, I would feel bad. You know, I would feel bad if someone asked me and I said no, or if, you know, someone was looking to hold the baby because they were like 2 inches away from me and looking at the baby, and I didn't want them to hold the baby, I would feel bad. And so I think it's important to be okay with having that type of like protection, that mama protection. And it's okay. It's an instinct that is natural, and that it's okay to embrace and acknowledge, to accept, really. And I just think that it's just totally fine to say no, or not right now. And maybe not right now is actually a lot nicer than no. But if you just smile and say, you know, not right now, you know, maybe later, but not right now, I think that's fine. And I'm going to take my own advice if I feel that I don't really want someone to hold my baby or be in my space. I watched another video. I don't know if you can tell, but I love YouTube.
It sucks you right in.
But there was another video where this girl was talking about her postpartum experience, and she acknowledged that someone else had told her, before you have your baby, make sure to lock your door, your front door, and put a sign at the on the door handle or the door saying, please give us this time and privacy. We want to spend with our baby. We are going to be not accepting visitors or whatever for the next 4 weeks, or something like that.
That's crazy. But it's not crazy. It's more crazy that why don't more people think that?
And I was, when I watched it, you know, hearing something like that, you almost feel uncomfortable because you're like, oh my goodness, I don't know if I want to be that girl. Like, I don't want to be that person. But who's really being in, like, who's really the one coming into your space? Are you going into someone else's space and time and private time and privacy and family time, or are they? And so you have to evaluate it and assess it and look at it like, you know what? You want to spend time with your baby and you don't really want other people to hold your baby, or maybe you do want people to hold your baby and you don't need that sign. It's up to you. But I think it's important to establish those boundaries with your partner and talk about it and kind of discuss like how you want to go into it. You know, do we want people to hold our baby within the first few days, or do we just not? Do we want to see people in the first few days or the first few weeks, or do we not? And I think it's totally okay to decide that between you two, because that's such a personal decision. And then go into the postpartum knowing exactly what you're going to do and do that and be okay with it. So I just think that's something that I could use in the future, and just anyone that's listening could as well, that it's okay to say no or not right now.
Yeah. It's funny how you feel bad. Like, I know I would have felt bad if someone asked to hold Harper, like, well, okay. Like, you know, obviously there's certain things, certain times that, you know, no, not right now. You know, if the baby's sleeping or, but it's true. You have this want to hold your baby all the time. They're just so cute and you work so hard and you've been waiting so long to meet this person. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to hand your baby off to everybody. Also, I think you said it really well. It's like that mama protection or parent protection mode of like, I don't know if you're capable.
Yeah.
Like, or I don't know who you've been around or what's been on you or what you've been around.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
This tiny little baby is you. It's your job to protect this person also. And they are susceptible to a lot at that point.
Exactly. And that's another thing, you know, you don't know what other people are coming in with and where they're coming from. And it's like, they could very well be your friends and relatives, but at the same time, you just don't know. You don't know where they just came from or whatever. And of course they can wash your hands, but it just comes down to your comfortability. Like, what is it that you and your partner want to do moving forward? Do you guys want to have people be there and hold your baby like right out of the gate? Or do you want some time and privacy? And if you want privacy, then that is totally okay. That is up to you guys. And that is fine if that's what you want. I don't find it to be something that you have to feel bad about. And I'm saying this from a place of, I did feel bad at one point, but I think now my mindset and perspective has changed because I've had a baby. I know what it's like, and I know what I would like, but I just think it's just a personal decision, and it's a very intimate time. And so you have to decide for yourself, you and your partner, how you want to go about it.
Yeah, I wonder what that stems from, because I feel like you're probably not there, and I'm probably not the only one who's felt kind of guilty about saying no. It's almost like I feel like it goes back to when you are younger and you're taught to share, like, yo, you need to share your toys. You need to share your toys. Like, oh, I guess I've got a new baby and everyone wants to see my baby. I should share. Yeah. No, you shouldn't. You don't have to
share. Exactly. And it's a good point. I don't know. I don't know where that comes from. It's almost as if,
you're afraid to hurt somebody's feelings.
Exactly,
by saying no.
Because they're either your really close relative or your relative or your close friend. And they want to hold the baby. And it's hard to say no or not right now because, you don't want to be rude. That's just the truth. But you have to then decide, like, do you even want people to be around in the first few days, you know?
Yeah, I think it's good you said that, because not only for the hold your baby, but like just visitors in general. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everyone's going to want to come over. Especially people who you're close to, who've watched you through your pregnancy, are going to say, oh, I want to come meet the baby. And that's nice and all, but like, you not only for the baby, but also for yourself. I don't want a lot of people sitting in my house. I don't want to have to get ready for you. Yeah. And entertain you. Yeah. I can barely get ready for me.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know. I feel like the way that we went about it with Sienna was the way that we wanted to. But mm-hmm. I think we want to change things up the next time. And I think that's okay, because it's your child. It's you just gave birth to that baby, and you want to hold your baby. You want to talk with your mm-hmm. baby. And I think it's important to have that precious time. Yeah. However long that's going to be. You know, it's not your responsibility to allow someone else to hold your baby. No, you need that bonding yeah. time with your baby. So anyway, I just think that that's something, like when I was listening to the YouTube video, I just thought that was a very interesting perspective, because I never thought to put a sign outside of my door saying, privacy, please come back in 4 weeks. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it was just
the sign's nice, because then you don't have to have that interaction either.
That's
you don't
true. Have, it can... That's very true.
Maybe you don't put the sign on your door these days. You put it on your Instagram.
Yeah, just to let you know, making an announcement, guys. This is what's happening.
Posting this on my Instagram stories for the next couple months, just so everyone knows.
Exactly.
I'll let you know when our time's up.
Yeah. Hey, if that's the way it's gonna be, so be it, right?
So much less awkward. Thanks, social media, for making things less awkward.
Oh, man.
No, but really, I'm glad you shared that one, because I think all of these are like important to hear, because you don't hear them and you do feel bad, or you know, you're trying to appease other people, but especially because I feel like I've heard this from other people too, is, you know, I just wanted to hold my baby. I didn't want to, you know, you feel like you have to say yes to people coming visit, or, and it really is okay to say no. You don't need permission for that. This is, it's your thing. Mm-hmm. You don't need to explain yourself.
Yep.
And one day, if they don't understand, hopefully they will one day.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
So
I agree.
Good tips. I like your tips.
I like yours. And guys, thanks so much for listening and hearing our postpartum care tips that we would have used and did use. And we hope that it benefited you in some way, shape, or form. And if you liked this episode, feel free to drop us a review. We would love to hear from you, and subscribe to our podcast.
Thanks, guys. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much for joining us this week. We are absolutely grateful and humbled that you would take the time to tune in today. Please join us each week as we change the stigma around postpartum and help build a community where women can feel supported, loved, and empowered.
If you'd like to connect with us, follow us on Instagram at So You Had a Baby Podcast, or you can check out our website at soyouhadababypod.com. And if you want to hear more and be part of this community, please subscribe to our podcast. We'd love for you to join us each week.